Hey, what's up, everybody? You're listening to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
How's it going, everyone? My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm Will Brueggemann. Thanks a lot for joining us this week.
This is an episode we've been looking forward to for almost a year. This is multiplayer music.
Yeah, this is really cool. I think this is a topic that not a lot of people would think of doing, but these type of topics are actually some of my favorite to do, and I know I was talking to Carl about this before we started, but I really like doing topics where it's sort of a gameplay topic, but it's really interesting to see how that idea, like in this case, multiplayer music, how that can affect the composition, and it really does in most cases.
Yeah, how the idea of playing with another person, sort of a competitive nature, can inform the composition. It's a really cool idea, and yeah, it's kind of funny. This topic has been on our list. We have this kind of master list of all our possible ideas, and we keep on adding to it as time goes on. And this has been on the list since the very beginning. So,
well, and I think an interesting thing, multiplayer video games and music have always sort of had this sort of companionship. If you think about it, games
Absolutely.
Like Dance Dance Revolution, Guitar Hero, Rock Band, a lot of those music games are really best when played competitively or cooperatively with another person.
Yeah, I mean, music is definitely a huge factor in multiplayer gaming, as it is in gaming in general.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, I think we're both just really looking forward to this episode. This is going to be a really fun, eclectic mix of really good music today. So
yeah, I think the other cool thing about it is when you think about it, we talk about how in a lot of modern games, you get a little bit less of that melodic tonality than you did back in like the 8 and 16-bit era.
Right.
But something that I think is cool is a lot of times if there is music in the multiplayer settings in the games, those are the settings that you play again and again and again and again,
right.
You know? Where you may only play the campaign a couple times. So the music that's there is memorable. For example, what we're playing in with is a track called Mexican Mission from Time Splitters 2. And this is a game that Carl and I played so much
this
when
it
came
out. This was a huge part of both of our, not childhood, but our kind of formative years of, I guess, competitive gaming, I would
say. Yeah, and what's kind of cool is I remember the multiplayer music from this game way more than I would remember, like, the in-game music.
Of
and
course.
I think that's an example of how in the nature of that it's multiplayer and that it's something that you can play again and again, the music will have more of a chance to become memorable.
Well, the thing I like about multiplayer music is it's not subtle. It's really in your face. For the most part, it's really high energy. It's not going to be ambient for the most part, you know. So, yeah, there's lots of great stuff we're going to share with you today. We're going to start things off. One of the first games I thought of when I knew we wanted to do a multiplayer music episode was Sonic 3, actually.
Absolutely.
There's some fantastic multiplayer themes from Sonic 3. If you guys are familiar, I'm sure most people are familiar with Sonic 3. There's a versus multiplayer option in the game, which is actually kind of fun and was pretty ahead of its time for the Genesis. I know it's pretty hard to have split screen on the Genesis as far as how the processing power of it. But this was pretty fun, and all the levels were completely unique to the multiplayer mode.
Right.
Because in Sonic 2, if you remember, they had two-player versions of the single-player levels, but with Sonic 3, they're brand new levels with brand new music. We're going to start things off with a song called Azure Lake, and this is composed by Sega Sound Team. Cool. This is Azure Lake from Sonic 3, composed by Sega Sound Team. This has always been one of my favorite multiplayer themes from this game. Just such a classic piece of music that means so much to me. One thing that's so cool about Sonic 3 is that the multiplayer music, it still fits in the world of Sonic 3, but it definitely stands on its own. It doesn't ever really sound like the single player levels.
Right, and what's such a cool example about this game is I feel like the music is actually a little bit more coherent with the in-game music than Sonic 2 is with its in-game music, because it's using the same sound set that you get in Sonic 3.
Absolutely. One quick thing I want to mention about this song is I feel like this is a really nice experiment in how long you can keep the bass on one single note. This entire song, the bass note never changes. The chords will change around it, making them kind of slash chords
right.
in different inversions, but the bass note stays on that root the entire song.
And I think that's
song.
Why you get that sort of tension and endless feel,
Absolutely.
That endless quality
the
to it.
The perpetual quality.
Another thing that I always noticed about this, one thing that's kind of funny, is it is confirmed that Michael Jackson actually wrote a few tracks in this game.
Yeah.
This is always one that, before I ever knew that, I always thought the chords reminded me a little bit of a Black or White.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, just kind of the one chord where they're doing the suspension, the sus 2, the sus 4, kind of back and forth.
Right.
Yeah. No, this is such a... All this music is so melodic, and I know we've talked so much... the reason that I love the Sonic 3 music specifically is how interactive it is with all the different channels. And the multiplayer music is almost the most interactive as far as the whole Sonic 3 soundtrack.
Yeah, totally.
We talked about that before in our Sonic Part 2 episode, but... Such great music. We're going to move on to probably the most quintessential multiplayer game of all time. We're talking GoldenEye 007.
Yeah, boy.
N64, composed by Graham Norgate and Grant Kirkhope. We're going to play a track called Multiplayer 1, also known as the Statue Theme 2. And this one is believed to be composed by Mr. Grant Kirkhope himself. Let's take a listen to Multiplayer 1. This is such a great piece. This is Multiplayer 1, also known as Statue 2, composed by most likely Grant Kirkhope.
Yeah, this is a great track. It's funny, it's a lot more bombastic and in-your-face than a lot of the multiplayer music in this game.
Right.
But one thing about the multiplayer music of GoldenEye, it is funny because it's another example. It's much less ambient than the music in the actual levels because
right.
so much of the music in the game really revolves around trying to sound stealthy because that's a big... part of the game. It is an action game, but you are Bond, so there's parts where you're sneaking around facilities and whatnot.
And if I'm correct, I think some of the multiplayer music uses the X themes. You know how there's, like, for example, there's Frigate, and then there's Frigate X? That's
right.
the music, like, when you're trying to escape at the end, where it kind of amps up.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the multiplayer levels use the X themes from the soundtrack. But one thing, this is such a unique track in the soundtrack. It's a little bit more brass heavy, but one thing that, for me, it's so obvious that it's Grant Kirkhope, because it's really goofy. Like, he
right.
just, he has this really natural, slightly goofy style of composition that is just so playful and so, it's just so enjoyable. It's great for video game music.
Right. I think this one is really trying to sort of sound Russian, because I know this
Absolutely.
Level in the game takes place in Russia, and I remember it using a similar sound set with those sort of blaring trumpets.
Yeah, the Statue 1 theme is a very similar,
right.
this
so
is like a sequel
I think,
to that.
Yeah, this is totally like trying to... capture that same musical palette.
And that
but it's
level
a little bit
is
more
so
goofy.
Unique too in the game. It's really different from most other levels.
Yeah.
But, no, yeah, in general, the soundtrack was just so ahead of its time. This game was so ahead of its time. Everything about the game was just, it holds up surprisingly well. I know that they did that remake, right? That came
yeah,
out
that
for the week.
That was surprisingly good.
Did
that
they have the
really
same music?
Game.
Like, did they redo the music for that?
No, it was completely new music because it was
oh, really?
It was a completely new game. It was more of a reboot. Like, it
okay.
was taking the story of the GoldenEye film and doing it up completely. It's cool because it was like a mixture of, like, it had reverence to the whole multiplayer aspect of mm-hmm. GoldenEye, but they really outdid themselves because it's like a completely new campaign. I really enjoyed that game. That's probably one of my favorite first-person and shooters in like the last 3 years.
That's awesome, dude. Well, we're going to move on to the Super Nintendo, and we're going to play a track from Super Bomberman 2.
This is classic.
Absolutely. The Bomberman series is again, one of the most well-loved multiplayer series in all of gaming.
Music's so good. It's really catchy and, like, repetitive.
Absolutely. We're going to take a listen to Battle Theme 2, and this was composed by Yasuhiko Fukuda. Enjoy. You're listening to Battle Theme 2 from Super Bomberman 2 for the SNES, composed by Yasuhiko Fukuda. Now let's play a little game here. When we were listening to this, me and Will had the exact same thought. This reminded us of another SNES soundtrack. So let's play a little game here, everyone out there listening. What soundtrack does this remind you of? 3, 2, 1...
Do I get to say it?
Yeah, you say it, Will.
Okay, well, it reminded both Carl and myself of Mario RPG.
Ding, 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 ding. Hopefully that's what you guys thought, too. Yeah, I think you could, if you could, you would insert this in Mario RPG, you would not be able to tell, like, the instrument sets,
yeah, well,
compositional
the instrument
style.
Sets, how happy it is, and all the different sort of moving parts, the use of that mallet percussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing I love about this song is, for most of the song, it's one very simple foundation as far as the bass line and those kind of mallet percussion. They just keep adding other instruments on top of it, kind of building the house higher and higher.
Totally.
It's really cool. It's really melodic, really playful music. Yeah, I really like the soundtrack to Super Bomberman 2.
Yeah.
There were two Bomberman games that Will and I played a lot of throughout the years. This was one of them. The other one was for the TurboGrafx, Bomberman 93.
Yeah.
I think that might have my favorite Bomberman soundtrack.
That's great. Well, and a lot of those themes, those multiplayer themes are used in a lot of the Bomberman games.
Absolutely.
So I mean, it's cool hearing
the Bomberman theme
versions.
Is used in almost every Bomberman game.
Yeah. That Bomberman 93 has just great music, especially
for
the main game music.
Yeah,
like,
the actual level
really
themes
cool
are really cool, yeah. That was our favorite music we played on our TG16 episode, definitely. Yeah.
Ooh, we gotta play this game, man. Makes me want to play the game.
I'll have to play some Bomberman after this. We're gonna move on to the DS, to New Super Mario Brothers, and we're gonna play the Overworld versus mode theme. And this was composed by Asuka Oda and Hajime Wakai. Enjoy. What a great piece of music. This is the Overworld versus mode theme from New Super Mario Brothers, composed by Asuka Oda and Hajime Wakai. For me, this was definitely a forgotten gem. I mean, I always knew that the main New Super Mario Brothers theme is great. It's hard not to know that because it's used in so many games. But I never really remembered other music from this game. This is a phenomenal theme.
Yeah, this is really good. It's cool because they're hearkening back to not only that New Super Mario Brothers theme, but to the original Super Mario Brothers Overworld theme.
The very intro harkens back to that. And then this part here, I really like how it's like a alternate version of the main theme. There's a lot of great Mario themes that do that.
Yeah.
The Mario 64 theme does that. Yeah, no, this is just such a playful theme. I think it's really cool hearing the 8-bit PSG sounds doing very kind of steel drum type of lines as far as how they're like rolling.
Right.
They're doing like single stroke rolls. That's so much fun to hear. Really nice tropical theme here. And the, yeah, the multiplayer to this game is quite good. You have the battle mode, and you also have the mini games, mm-hmm. which I think Will and I played more of that. I think we played the mini games.
Yeah, they had those really addictive touchscreen mini games, yeah. and that was way before, you know, iPhones and touchscreen stuff. So this was pretty cool technology for the time. It was really fun to play all those innovative, very innovative mini games.
Yeah, maybe you guys are familiar with those mini games. Will, what was your personal favorite mini game?
I really liked the one. It was sort of like Pong. You know, you were balancing these little trampolines over lava, and you'd right. knock the bombs.
You were so good at
side.
That. The one that I was always kicked butt at was the one where you had the slingshot.
He had the slingshot, and you had to get him into the proper floating little bowls.
It was so funny because I never had a lot of confidence. Like, maybe I'm going to lose this time. And then whenever it came, I would always win by like 40.
Oh, it was embarrassing.
And it would just take a long time for it to count. It'd be like, you'd get like 12, and then I would be like 13, 14, 15. It would take so long.
Yeah, so the next one that we're going to be playing is actually from a game from one of our favorite series.
Right.
This is a track from Metroid Prime 2 Echoes, considered by many to be probably one of the weaker games in the Prime trilogy, but I really think it's kind of underrated. I really like this game, but this is another example of where the tone of the multiplayer environment really affects the composition, because you'll notice the track that we're going to be playing is much more lively and energetic than any of the music in the entire Prime series.
This is Multiplayer Theme 1, Hunters, composed by Kenji Yamamoto from Metroid Prime 2 Echoes. Cool. This is Multiplayer Theme 1 Hunters from Metroid Prime 2, composed by the one and only Kenji Yamamoto. This is obviously harkening back to the Brinstar theme. One thing that I really responded to in this particular remix is there's one part where they alter the melody notes and they change one of the notes of that classic riff,
yeah.
Kind of to emphasize more of the blues scale. Yeah. It's a very subtle change, but it's effective. I really like that sound effect, that It's like trying to sound like some sort of animal or
he
beast.
He uses so much ambient noise as sort of rhythmic effects.
It's like they're instruments in the
piece. This game is really faithful to the idea of Metroid music, of trying to blur the line between noise and music. And it's really so brilliant. Something that I don't think Kenji Yamamoto got enough credit for this entire series.
I agree.
It's really great. Especially because, you know, there's no full orchestra. There's none of that. So I think a lot of people sort of poo-poo it from a musical
right.
level, but the use of ingenuity as far as like the different sounds he's using, and it really creates its own style. It's like one of the best sound sets on the GameCube and the Wii.
No, I completely agree. And actually, I think that's why it is impressive, is because it sounds like nothing else in this era. Like, all the other games that were coming out around this time, you're right, they would either have full orchestral soundtrack or just kind of very percussion heavy.
Well,
this is a very different sound
than
and
a lot of
the games.
It sounds alien is the thing.
Right,
you know,
it sounds
the
like
sound
from
of
another
an
world.
Orchestra is so classic. It sounds like Earth, you know, we're mm-hmm. used to hearing that. Where, I don't know, I feel like
it's like alien techno music.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is a great theme. Cool. We're going to move on to the NES, go back in time, play a track from the game Nintendo World Cup, and we're going to take a listen to Versus Match theme. This was composed by Kazuo Sawa.
Thank you.
a cool find there. This is Versus Match theme from Nintendo World Cup, composed by Kazuo Sawa. And actually, this gentleman composed a couple really fun NES sports games, and we're going to play another track from his later on today, and it just so happened that the games he worked on had nice Versus modes.
Totally. This is great multiplayer music right here. You know, it's really lively, incredibly melodic, really catchy, but it also, you know, rhythmically, it really gets your blood pumping. Like, I don't know, I feel like I can picture the game, and I can picture that this would make me want to keep playing. You know, it puts you in a good mood, and at the end of the day, like, that's what games are for. It's escapism.
And it's really important that for multiplayer music, especially in this era, that it's a song that is good enough to warrant being played over and over and over again, almost more than any other themes in the game. Because for a lot of people, it's like, for a game like this, you're right, it's more fun to play with another person. So it's very possible that you're going to hear this music more than you would the other music in the game.
This is a really good melody. I like, it sort of follows a pattern of when it lands on certain notes, and all the notes that it sustains on are really effective as far as their place in the key and their place in the chord progression that's occurring. It's really well thought out melody, really clever, really cute, a lot of fun.
Such a timeless melody, and that B section is really nice and contrasting. Yeah, this is great NES music right here. Cool, we're going to move on to Sonic the Hedgehog 2. We're going to play Mystic Cave Zone 2 player, composed by the legendary Masato Nakamura. Now, on the podcast before, we've played a couple of the two-player themes. We've played the Emerald Hill 2 player, which is that really nice reggae groove.
Oh, yeah, the... That's great.
And then we've also played the Casino Night Zone 2 player, which is really funky. And I think we actually... One of the things we mentioned when we played that song is we thought that the two-player music of Mystic Cave and Casino may have accidentally been swapped.
Is that the one that goes
right?
Oh, so because it has that.
We always thought that the Casino 2 player sounded more like Mystic Cave Zone.
Oh.
So maybe keep that in mind. This is Mystic Cave Zone 2 player from Sonic 2. Great piece. This is Mystic Cave Zone 2 player, and this definitely belongs in Mystic Cave Zone, now that I listen to this again, composed by Masato Nakamura. Again, a great experiment in how long you can keep the bass staying on the same chord.
I was just going to say it. It's funny.
It's almost a tradition.
Yeah, it's completely different composers, but I think it's funny that, I don't know who composed that, Azure Lake, probably someone from the Sega Sound team.
A Japanese gentleman, for
sure. Yeah, but I think it's really funny that... those two composers, completely independent of one another, came to the exact same conclusion.
For a multiplayer track.
And I think that is concrete evidence that the fact that this is multiplayer music, it really affects the composition. You know, and I think it's funny that they came to the same musical conclusion as far as sustaining that same bass line and moving the chords atop that almost... those like bell pitches, really.
It's just, it's such a great experimentation in almost minimalism, because you have like that very solid foundation that stays exactly the same throughout the entire song. You're able to explore a bunch of different harmonics on top of it, very interesting harmonies that you'll hear, and there's these kind of little jabs of brass that dan 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 dan.
Totally.
It really fits a competitive multiplayer track. And with the Sonic 3 thing, the reason why that needed to be so perpetual is because the tracks that you're playing, not the musical tracks, but the actual tracks, are loops themselves.
Right.
Like, they go on forever, and it's like lap one, lap two, lap three. Whereas this one, I think it was just you trying to get to the end of the level first,
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. But yeah.
It's funny. In my opinion, the Sonic 2 multiplayer is actually a little bit more advanced. Like, the levels are more complicated.
Yeah,
it feels a little bit more concrete.
It is advanced. I mean, it's definitely watered down versions of the main levels, but it's still pretty impressive. Like, when you do play Sonic 3, it's fun, but eventually you get to realize that, oh, they're kind of short. It's definitely not nearly as long as the Sonic 2 multiplayer levels.
Right.
But for the Genesis, I mean, it was very impressive. I remember renting Sonic 3, and that multiplayer back then in 94 was like, it just blew me away. It was like the coolest thing I had ever seen.
Right, I mean, split screen.
Maybe three.
Split screen. Like, yeah,
I had never seen it before, yeah, so. And then I also remember when GoldenEye came out 2 years later, I was just completely floored by that.
Wow, 2 years later. That's really crazy to think about.
Yeah. Maybe it was three, but yeah, it is crazy. So we're very excited. It's time to move on to our track of the week. This is from one of my favorite soundtracks. When this game came out, I was absolutely obsessed with this soundtrack. This is James Bond, Everything or Nothing, composed by the wonderful Sean Callery.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with Sean Callery, he's done a lot of TV and some film music.
Right.
Among some of the more popular stuff, he actually did all the music to the show 24, as well as that, in my opinion, really classic main theme from that show. I really love the music to that series.
Yeah, awesome music to 24, and Sean Callery is such a talented composer. He's one of those guys where he's able to incorporate the modern electronic influence with orchestral, in my opinion, better and more tastefully than almost anyone else.
Yeah, I another big example, a lot of people compare him to Hans Zimmer, because mm-hmm. I feel like they've had similar compositional jobs as far as the type of films that they've scored, and I think they sort of represent similar approaches to orchestral film music, but I really prefer Sean Callery's approach.
Yeah, and what's interesting is Sean Callery, in my opinion, is so tailor-made. His compositional style is so tailor-made for video games, and this is the only video game soundtrack that I'm familiar with that he's ever composed. And what's great about Everything or Nothing is it was fully orchestrated, so he's able to use full orchestra on a lot of the pieces, but he's also able to combine nice electronic sounds as well. We're going to play a multiplayer theme, and this game had two really good multiplayer modes. You had Arena, which was, you know, your standard deathmatch mode. You also had really good co-op levels that were brand new levels that had nothing to do with the single player campaign, and brand new music. We're going to play the theme to the first level. This is Tunisia, composed by Sean Callery. Goodness, that is such a great piece of music. This is Tunisia from Everything or Nothing, composed by Sean Callery. A lot of signature compositional styles that Sean has. In that section with kind of the falling action where it gets quieter and there's that string instrument, that really reminded us of a lot of his 24 music. I think he used similar instruments in that show, but so tuneful, so
super
melodic.
Effective.
The main theme with those harmonized brass instruments is so classic to us. It was just so it's just a piece that got stuck in our head from as soon as we started playing the co-op to this game.
This is great.
And that last theme, that dun 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 dun, that's it's such
really
a payoff.
Effective. It was introduced on the steel drums and comes back with the horns and then mm-hmm. with the full horn section.
It's so rousing.
That's really great. You
every single section of this piece is so enjoyable, and
absolutely
it gets stuck in your head every single section.
Yeah, rhythmically, there's a great rhythmic drive. Mm-hmm. Like, it just gets your blood pumping. Like, I just want to listen to it on loop. You know, it's
absolutely
funny. Like, it totally works as multiplayer music. It's incredibly
effective.
And
that's what
effective.
We did when we played the co-op level. It was on loop. And it's that's one of the great things about video game music is I actually remember this level being kind of, for some reason, it was hard to, like, get to the end. Like, we had to find something. I remember it, like, took us longer than it should have to beat it. So we heard this music
a lot.
This
music feels very, like, drilled into my subconscious.
It's interesting that for me, this particular song is one of the more memorable of the entire soundtrack, almost more than some of the single player themes.
Yeah, well, I think, again, it's what we talk about. You know, we played the multiplayer a lot more than the single player because, you know, two people play.
One of the memories I have of playing the co-op with you is when this game came out, you were a lot younger, and I remember you weren't as advanced as a gamer. And I think I was maybe a little frustrated with maybe your ability when we first started.
Well, it was hard, you know. The co-op for this game was like harder than the single player.
Yeah, when did this come out? I think this came out in like 2002 or 2003. But this was so great. This really put you in the shoes of James Bond.
I feel like it was like 2004 or something.
Really?
Yeah, because I mean, Nightfire would have been early.
Nightfire
like
was like 2002 or 3, yeah, so this might have been 2004.
The score to this game is really good. Again, all full orchestra, and the sound of that room, and again, those electronic instruments and those other sort of virtual instruments that Sean Callery uses, it really unifies this. It has its own sort of unique sound. This
and yeah,
everything
you're
or
totally
soundtrack.
Right. The sound of that soundstage is just gorgeous. It's such a big, fat sound.
Especially for the brass. Mm-hmm. They just sound really lush. Like two things, the trumpets at the beginning, the decay sounds really nice and gorgeous, but also you were noticing this, the
my favorite moment in the
Spanish kind of mariachi kind of trumpet sounded really nice in that room.
That's one of my favorite moments of this piece. Cool, we're going to move on to another quintessential multiplayer game. This is Mario Kart 64, composed by Kenta Nagata, one of our favorite composers. We're going to take a listen to Battle Arenas. Awesome. This is Battle Arenas from Mario Kart 64, composed by Kenta Nagata. I love the feel, the bluegrass, the really authentic bluegrass feel, kind of a similar vein to the Moo Moo Farm theme music from this game.
Totally.
And I know that Koji Kondo got a kind of a similar feel in his slider piece to Mario 64. But yeah, you have the banjo, you have the fiddle, you have the really nice sounding upright bass. Just listen to that banjo playing. That's just so fun. It's perfect for Mario Kart. It really is one of the most signature sounds of this soundtrack. There's a couple tracks that he uses that banjo. And I think for me and Will, a section that is one of our favorite sections is the final section where the organ comes in. Like, it's an interesting choice to go from this bluegrass band all of a sudden to have an organ.
It reminds me of like something you hear at like a baseball game, which is cool because in general, the vibe that I get from this theme is like, I feel like Kenta Nagata is trying to score it as if this battle arena thing would sort of be like, I don't know, like a monster truck kind of rally where like people
totally.
Would watch it, because you know, like the whole game has that sort of multiplayer aspect, but most of the music is catered to racing. But this is definitely a little bit sort of like grungier. It sounds like something you'd hear at like a sporting event, which
totally
I think is
totally sounds
cool.
like a sporting event. That's a really good point. I never really thought about that, but I never questioned it. It really felt at home.
Yeah.
Like, this, it's funny. I think we can all relate to how many hours have we spent listening to this song.
Yeah.
Like, we've all spent so long playing the battle mode to Mario Kart 64. It's just some of the most classic multiplayer gaming of all time.
Yeah, I mean, all the sounds, all the sights. Like, when I hear this, I think of frustration, fun. I think of wow, 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 wow.
Right.
Because I always play as Luigi.
So, what level is this? I think this is used for one or two of the battle arenas.
It's used for the block four.
It is used for block four.
And it's used for...
I think that might be it, because I know that Big Donut has its own very
Big
ambient
Donut.
Song.
What's the other one? Double Decker also
Double
uses
Decker
this one.
Might use it. And then I know the Skyscraper has its own song,
yeah.
too. But I think Skyscraper and Big Donut are not very tuneful, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
they're kind of ambient.
A little bit darker.
Yeah. And I do think this song was actually also used in Choco Mountain as
right,
well.
Right, right, right.
But I think most of us know it more from the battle arenas. Cool. Well, we're going to move on to a more modern pick. This is Resident Evil 5. We're going to take a listen to the Versus Mode theme. This is called Rust in Summer 2008, composed by Kota Suzuki. Is so cool. That's Resident Evil 5 Rust in Summer 2008, composed by Kota Suzuki. And again, it's a great example of multiplayer music, because this sounds nothing like most of the music in Resident Evil 5.
Oh, definitely not.
I think this actually was part of the DLC to the game. I don't think the original game had a versus mode that I remember.
Yeah, I don't recall.
But this is really melodic, really nice kind of rave techno music.
Yeah, I really like the... there's a lot of grit on that synth lead instrument.
Right, absolutely. No, it's a great piece. I think it's cool for us to get to play a track from Resident Evil 5. If anyone was disappointed in our Capcom episode, we didn't play any RE music, here you go. This is for you. We're going to move on to a game for the Super Nintendo called Columns. And this was composed by Hikoshi Hashimoto. And if you guys remember, so far in the podcast, we've played one Hashimoto track, and it was that ATP Tour Championship Tennis
right.
from our sports games episode. And I'm actually a really big fan of this composer. And Columns, obviously, is a series of puzzle games that has surprisingly good music. We're going to take a listen to Versus Game. This is a really interesting piece of music. It incorporates kind of the Middle Eastern scale, but what I think is really interesting is it gets to a point where it turns into this more kind of major key happy feel, but they still incorporate that minor
that
key
like harmonic
over
thing?
That chord progression. It's a really interesting choice. Let's take a listen. This is Versus Game from Columns for the SNES, composed by Hikoshi Hashimoto. Such an interesting choice to keep that that Middle Eastern scale, that harmonic minor scale, over that more happy section. It's just, in some ways, it kind of clashes. It's not something that on paper I would ever, I guess, inherently think to do, but I really like it. I can't put my finger on why I like it so much.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think it's definitely an interesting device. I don't know about this context. Like, I think this is the type of thing that would work well in a game that had a Middle Eastern theme or something to it. And, I don't know, something where it's like hinting at something while the general feeling is happy. I don't know. I keep thinking of at the end of episode one, the score, that happy section when everyone's like celebrating. Mm-hmm. It hints at the Emperor's theme. Like, okay. I think that type of like hinting at something more demonic sounding.
But as far as if you just take the song by itself and you don't think about the context of what game it was in, that right there is what I'm talking about. That melody. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a cool idea that they can take the A theme and harken back to it in the C section, where you would never expect to do that. It's just really surprising. I think in the future, I think I would personally like to do a Hashimoto episode, but if not, I think maybe in a future show and tell, I might do another Hashimoto track. We're going to move on to the NES, to Super Dodgeball, and we're going to play another track by Kazuo Sawa, as I mentioned before. This is Versus Mode theme from Super Dodgeball. This is Versus Mode theme from Super Dodgeball for the NES, composed by Kazuo Sawa.
Really great. Just very vintage NES part writing. some interesting things happening rhythmically and with the percussion. There are those times where you have the da-da-da, where every single instrument is either playing the same note or the same rhythm. And what, right, I think is interesting is the space after that is followed by no percussion, no anything. So, like, the actual percussion cuts out at those points. So you have these big spaces of silence, which sort of adds to this sort of tension and contrast after that really loud sort of bombastic dun-dun-dun.
Absolutely. No, that's a really good point. Another thing I like is that this is a little bit longer of a form than most of the music, not only in this game, but in this era of NES music. And I think it's another case where they knew that you were going to hear this song a lot in multiplayer, you know, this type of a game. It's not going to last for a minute. It's probably going to last for longer. So it's nice that they're able to have a little bit more of a longer song with a couple, right, different sections that it's all rhythmically driving. It's all keeps your blood pumping the whole time.
Yeah, some very classic NES rhythms, that da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right, those type of things. And I really sort of like that tuplet feel at the end of the form, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
It's a fun era because it's one of those things where this does this sound like dodgeball music? No, it doesn't. This could be in Mega Man. This could be in almost any game. It's just, it's classic NES music, and that's one of the things I love is how the line gets blurred in this era where it's like, does it really matter that this is a dodgeball game? No, it just needs to be really fun, exciting NES music, and that's kind of what happens here. We're going to play another track from Time Splitters 2. This is one of the most classic multiplayer themes, in my opinion. This is Training Ground, composed by Graham Norgate. We'll be right back. such an intense piece of music. This is Training Ground from Time Splitters 2, composed by Graham Norgate. This is definitely Graham Norgate doing what he does best. He loves this genre of music so much. One thing that is so interesting, I think you're probably going to mention it too, is we never really noticed this when we were playing the actual multiplayer, but it feels like the rhythmic string section and the brass section are in two different meters in this piece. It's a really interesting combination. They're either in two different meters, or it kind of feels like the brass section has been slid off by one beat.
Yeah. And it changes, you know. It's not consistent, which is why I agree with you that I think they are in like different meters. But it's sort of subtle, and it really sort of is a little bit jarring, but it fills up the space a little bit nicer, having those sort of polyrhythmic lines happening at the same time, and it allows you to not have a consistent downbeat to follow. Like Carl was actually trying to like, you know, tap along.
I was trying to find the downbeat, and I was like, I was always wrong because depending on what I was listening for, it was always off. But again, it adds a little bit more stress, a little bit more tension. I think in this particular game, don't you think that we probably spent the most time on this level? We played
Definitely.
The Capture the Flag so much on Training Ground. That was the best
this
level
was
for
great
Capture
music.
The Flag.
This is a really fun level. Very interesting melody. What I really like about it is it's a very sort of cold, emotionless melody. You know, it uses a lot of fifths. It's a very sort of classic, like, militaristic trumpet.
Absolutely.
Fanfare, but these chords are so dark
and
underneath
the techno
it really,
beat comes
it
in
really,
right here.
Yeah, it really colors it nicely.
What was cool is we rarely heard this techno beat because if you guys are paying attention, this is about 3 minutes, 16 seconds into the song right now. And I guess that a lot of the times we'd play matches, they didn't last 3 minutes. I think it was only the really marathon matches. Because when we think about this game, a lot of the matches were really quick.
Listen to this with the downbeat now.
Yeah. Well, you don't have the brass to throw it off.
No, but it was weird. Like, the strings were coming in a beat later than you would expect.
That's cool. Yeah, I only have a couple memories of actually remembering this techno beat while we were playing. And I remember how epic that was. Because it's like, if you've been playing this Capture the Flag match for 3 minutes, it's intense at that point. Like, you're struggling to stay alive.
I love these tremolo strings right here.
Yeah. This is GameCube and Xbox and PS2. It's pretty nice sounds for that time. Awesome. We're going to play another track from Sonic 3, another classic multiplayer theme. Let's take a listen to Desert Palace. You're listening to Desert Palace from Sonic 3, composed by Sega Sound Team. One of my favorite multiplayer themes. I love the bass instrument they use in this particular theme. It's an alternate slap bass that you really don't hear in the Sonic universe. This is the only track that I can think of that uses this particular slap bass. It's so signature to this piece. It's such a great bass line. Every section of this song is very strong, and this is kind of getting into the disco vibe here.
The open B section hi-hat is great. Reminds me of very Masato Nakamura-ish, actually.
Right?
Reminds me a lot of Sonic 1, both in how melodic the bass line is, the chord choices, and the melody, actually, the sort of slowly descending nature of that melody reminds me of something like Scrap Brain Zone. But obviously,
isn't that melody
it's much more
so beautiful?
Like, yeah, it's very pretty.
Oh, it's so pretty. It's so vast and open. You know, it's really fitting for this Desert Palace level.
Yeah.
What I like about it is they didn't go for the kind of the obligatory Middle Eastern oil ocean kind of feel. Like,
well, what I think is nice, there's less effort to characterize the levels in
right.
these multiplayer themes because it's less about the environments and settings. It's more about the emotion and the sort of excitement and fun that goes along with a multiplayer game. Something that I think is cool is something that I noticed a lot. A lot of this music that we're playing today is really exciting and happy, and it puts you in a good mood. It's the type of music that would have gone great in our celebration episode.
Absolutely.
And what's nice is some of it is even like more celebratory, even more like kind of like a party atmosphere, which I think is funny, almost like in the spectrum of like emotions in video game music. Like back in the day, like a multiplayer game was like more exciting than beating a level.
That is interesting. It was really exciting. I just remember having so much fun playing this multiplayer mode. It's one of those things where when you look back on it, it's more than the sum of its parts. Like the actual mode itself, like we said, the very short tracks, they're not very long. It's kind of a stripped down gameplay. There's only maybe like five different tracks, but the music makes this so enjoyable
to play.
Well,
and you also have sort of those like rose-colored glasses of like multiplayer gaming was a little bit more scarce back then, and as far as like that competitive simultaneous nature where you're playing at the same time.
And just another thing that as a kid I remember being really cool, and it was purely cosmetic, it's so funny, is that you could pick three different characters. You could be Sonic, Tails, or Knuckles, but it didn't make a difference because Knuckles couldn't fly or use his claws or whatever in that multiplayer mode. It didn't make a difference. They all had the exact same controls, but it was still fun to choose who you wanted to be. It's one of those things in video games where it's just kind of one of those cosmetic things, you know. I always think about that in racing games where it's like, which car do you want? Which character do you want? It's like, for me, it's like I don't really care that much because it's all the same.
I think it's sort of like a harken back to, you know, board games. You know, it's like, what color pawn do you want to be? When you're playing Monopoly, do you want to be the thimble or the shoe or the race car? It doesn't really matter. They don't operate in the game in a different way, but I think it's just sort of like your own sort of personal stamp on your character, your avatar, or whatever.
If this game came out nowadays, in addition to Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles, you could also be your own me, I'm sure. Which I always thought that
was interesting. I bet the Miis could fly.
The Miis would have better technology, yeah. So, Will, what is your absolute favorite multiplayer game of all time? I know it's hard, but if you had to pick one that you enjoy the most, probably from a game that we've played music from today, I'm guessing.
Huh. It's hard to say. You know, I'm probably going to have to go with James Bond 007 Nightfire. That is probably my favorite two-player game. I have a lot of great memories with that.
What's interesting, folks, is the next track we're going to play is from Nightfire.
Oh, magical.
We're going to play a track called Atlantis. This was composed by Lars Anderson. This is one of the awesome multiplayer themes in this game. This game came out for the Xbox, PS2, and GameCube, I think in around 2002 or so. It was really the next generation of great Bond split-screen multiplayer. Let's take a listen to Atlantis. Get funky with it. More cowbell on this track. The drums are so groovy. This is Atlantis from Nightfire, composed by Lars Anderson.
Oh, it's so hard to separate the game from the music. Like, this just makes me so happy and nostalgic. I absolutely love this game. But listening to it on its own reminds me of how impressive the music was. You know, taking
absolutely.
That Bond theme. This is some of the most imaginative remixes of that Monty Norman Bond theme.
So much original melodic material. How about that muted trombone? That's definitely real. There's no way that that's fake. That sounds
I mean,
so
it's
good.
It's such a classic, almost like a little bit of a cliche of like the Bond music.
Yeah. But yeah, in general, the multiplayer themes and this whole soundtrack, there's so much great original material. When they do harken back to the themes, man, is it ever exciting. It's weird listening to this music. It feels weird that I'm sitting. I feel like I should be running trying to find armor or something. It feels interesting just kind of casually listening to this. It's so intense. And you have the great bongos, and bongos are just so signature to the James Bond musical world. In general, just any sort of spy, it's kind of a spy cliche to have those bongos. It's a
great mixture of that Bond music with multiplayer. You know, this is one of my favorite examples of it, really, because the Bond theme is so well known, so it's almost like this is almost the control. You know, you can sort of see how that classic theme gets manipulated, and you're looking into it as like, what is multiplayer music? So you're seeing that theme be manipulated in ways that almost lets you observe is like, what makes this music good? You know, you need sort of a rhythmic backbeat. Mm-hmm. You need it to be exciting. But there's all these different sections.
Yeah, like
there's
this, a variety that melody of you're hearing there is completely original. Like a lot of the melodic material. I think a close second, one that we consider playing today, one that we should probably play in the future, is Skyrail theme.
Yeah.
With that slap bass line. That's like, it's a kind of the solo instrument on that one.
Yeah, this is maybe one of my favorite video games. I mean, it's possibly just for nostalgia, but a lot of great multiplayer modes, good single-player campaign. I just love this game.
I can safely say that out of any game in that generation that, for us, we had a GameCube, so that's what we played, but that, you know, that kind of three generation, this was the game we played the most multiplayer out of any game. We played this game into the ground. I remember there was one... We got so good at it that like no matter what we did, it wasn't hard enough. Like the bots that we had to have this setting. I think it was like Team King of the Hill.
Mm-hmm.
We would just make the bots ridiculous, and we still always won.
We'd have them gang up against us like 7-1. It's just crazy.
Cool. Let's move on to a game for the Super Nintendo called Wagyan Paradise. This was composed by Yoshinori Kawamoto. Let's take a listen to What Else Versus Mode. You're listening to Versus Mode from Wagyan Paradise for the Super Nintendo, composed by Yoshinori Kawamoto. I think the subtitle to today's episode is probably Versus Mode.
A lot of great energy in this track. A lot of the music that we're playing today has so much great energy to it. You know, I feel like I'm feeding off the energy from this music, but I almost feel more engaged than I've been in a really long
time.
That's
so interesting. I completely agree with you. That's so engaging. It's just multiplayer music. It's so interesting to hear the tradition of multiplayer music, obviously very different, but in some ways, there's a common thread through a lot of this
music.
Well,
and I think the funny thing is really interesting. Like, I almost want to look into this more, but the idea that multiplayer settings and multiplayer music really has carried the torch of like the melodic nature of video game music, even in to the like newer generations.
Sure.
I think it's crazy that like our track of the week was that Everything or Nothing thing. Mm. And we really both kind of gushed over the Time Splitter stuff and the Nightfire things. Like the idea.
And it is interesting because even let's take Time Splitters too. I don't love all the single-player level themes. Some of them are very ambient. Some of them are not very tuneful.
I mean, I think if there wasn't that multiplayer, I never would have even remembered the music.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't. It was effective. It just wasn't something that I would necessarily play on this episode. Guys, this is another little test here. What does this part here, what song does this remind you of that we've played on the podcast a couple times? We've played it a couple times. It's one of my personal favorite songs that we've ever played.
Oh, it's from... Sonic?
Something? Magical Sound Shower from Outrun.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, another great song.
Oh, that is a really good song.
We're going to move on to the NES, to the last track we're playing today. This is from Wario's Woods, and I believe this game came out for the NES as well as the SNES, and this came out in 1994, so really getting near the end of the NES's lifespan.
Sort of beyond the end. 1994?
1994, and like I said, it came out for both systems. So, though what's cool is the music, when you hear the music on the SNES, doesn't really feel like anything special, but when you hear it on the NES, it all of a sudden feels really impressive. And what's cool is this game was composed by Shinobu Amayeka as well as Soyo Oka.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Soyo Oka is obviously well known for doing Super Mario Kart. Let's take a listen to Wario's Woods Versus Mode. Thanks so much for joining us today on this multiplayer music episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast. We had a great time playing this music. This was a really cool playlist, and it was one that kept our interest throughout the entire episode. Hopefully it did for you guys as well.
Yeah, totally. Some really great music, a lot of really good energy. Hopefully this put you in a good mood. Again, this would be another example. If you want to listen to this again, maybe go work out a little bit. You know, I think these are some good tunes to do that with.
Or just run, look for ammo, look for armor.
Exactly. That's our advice.
Thanks so much for listening. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm Will Brueggemann. Looks like it's time to go, you guys. Have a great week. Thanks a lot for listening.
Peace out.